Few of you were here for our kind of recap service after Ann Phillips, Owen, and myself, Owen Ross, and I were in Guatemala. And traveling to Guatemala, it truly was a life-changing experience. I mean, when we go into places beyond where we live, this is what can happen. And in Guatemala City, we visited that school that it's opening its doors to children and families right in this really, really poor neighborhood. And it's making such a difference. One former student, for example, she came and now is a teacher after going through this program, going on to further education, and now she's teaching right in the school that we visited. It was so amazing to see. And what also stood out was this organization, AMEED, and how they're literally changing communities' lives by reaching out to the women, the young families, to build a stronger future through farming. And one of the ways they do it is water, and how water is so important. And Blair's got a little picture here of a cistern. And so what happens is when the water gets turned on once a week, they can now capture water with this cistern. So when the water gets turned on, they collect it, fill it up to the top, and they've got water for a week and a half or whatever it is. And so they can get this water to their fruit trees so that they can grow the most glorious fruit. And Blair has a picture of that as well. We got to taste avocados and cherries and peaches, and they were so proud to show us them, and they tasted so good. Avocados the size of a softball. Amazing, right? Like millennials and Gen Zs or whatever we are just, what, sorry, no. Avocado and toast, yes, avocado and toast. Amazing, right? And people are flourishing in Guatemala because of this organization. They're not having to travel to the U.S., to try to make a better life for themselves. They're staying right where they are and flourishing. And fruit is so amazing. They have this sense of gratitude because they're able to share and trade in their communities. Joy and fruitfulness is what is coming forth from all of this. It's literally what Paul says, bearing fruit all over the world. This morning, as we reflect on Paul's prayer to the Colossians, we're invited to see how the gospel is bearing fruit in our lives as well. The trouble in Colossae was that it was very subtle. There was subtle trouble. Good things were happening, but there was the idea that these Christians were caught between two worlds. So they had come from this city that was culturally, spiritually, and philosophically diverse. Lots of diversity. So many in the community had grown up in this Greco-Roman world where there was different gods, and these different gods ruled every aspect of life. So if you went on a journey, if you were traveling somewhere, you would call on the god of travel. If you were wanting to fall in love, everybody, I think, likes love, and love is important. You would have to go and besiege yourself to this god, conjure up the favor of this god. So it got to the point where you were conjuring up favor and trying to please the gods at every turn. It was taxing, it was exhausting, and a lot of the times there was a ton of fear that went around with this. So if we offend the wrong deity, you're scared that life is going to turn out poorly for you. So when the Colossians become Christians, they didn't necessarily leave these understandings behind. They brought it how they understood Jesus and God. And so there was a lot of fear. Oh, if I got to please God in this way, if not, this is going to happen to me. I don't know. Sometimes I think we have these ideas about God too, right? And yet these old allegiances were blended with this new faith in Christ. And there was confusion and anxiety and spiritual immaturity. But that wasn't the only pressure they faced. Within the Christian community, there were Jewish Christians who brought their Jewish traditions into the community as well. So they talked a lot about, you know, traditional days that they needed to celebrate, observing dietary rules. You couldn't eat certain foods. Like, these people were eating all the foods they liked, and now all of a sudden they were told, no, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. was like, whoa. And then there was circumcision. I mean, whoa, that is a commitment as a older man. Anyways, so caught in the middle, the Colossians were at risk of losing sight of the Lord being sufficient in all of life, right? They were in danger of saying, okay, if we've got to appease all of this and appease Christ all the time, we are going to lose the confidence that God gives us, the love and the confidence of being safe and secure. So Epaphras, their pastor and founder, sensed the danger. He wrote to Paul saying, look, these guys are on the right track. We need some encouragement. Help us. Teach us. You know, give us some encouragement. So Paul picks up his pen, not just to warn them, but to encourage, to remind them that they've already been rescued from darkness. There was no more fear that needed to be in their lives. They didn't need to earn God's favor or live in fear. And at its heart, it was a question of trust. Did they trust God with everything? Confident trust. As much as we look at the Colossians, this isn't a Colossian problem, I don't think. It's a human problem. Every generation of Christian faced the temptation to merge the gospel with whatever cultural flavor was the flavor of the month, so to speak. I think today, it's for sure, it's nationalism all across the world right now. You know, there is an inward move of countries. Sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's not so good. As we go inward, we're forgetting those on the outside. In North America, for sure, for a long time, it's been consumerism, right? There was that Marshall, I forget his name, McCullen or something, he was a philosopher. He said, yes, I think he said something. Above all else, he said, at least you can be a good consumer. Ooh, that's a little cutting, right? At least you can just buy your way out of trouble. For a long time, this has been the North American drumbeat. Like somehow God, we've attached this to God, that God is a little bit of a vending machine, and each time we want something from God, we just need to, you know, insert. We're always tempting to graft Jesus onto other trees too, security or our identity or politics or prejudices or our comfort, our grudges or our control too. And then we wonder why our lives don't bear good fruit or there's fear attached. It's author Anne Lamott. Do you remember her? She wrote, you can safely assume that you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God dislikes all the same people that you do. Paul writes with urgency. Paul writes with a sense of joy, too. The gospel isn't just a philosophy or a set of teachings. It's the power of God to change people's lives. He wants the Colossians to know that it's a living power. The gospel changes us. It's a living power. It's the root of new life planted by God and nourished by grace, and it provides a big harvest in people's lives. What's clear in his letter to the Colossians is they have allowed the good news to take root. They are flourishing. People can see it. It's making a difference in the community. These people coming together, different backgrounds, different understandings, different philosophies, coming to live as one body in Christ, and it's making all the difference in the world. There's no more fear or division. There's kindness and forgiveness and generosity and grace. And it's sweet fruit. And Paul is so happy. He rejoices. Because it's not about programs or being perfect people, but just reflecting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The Colossians were being formed into this type of community, and it was amazing. This is what God does when the gospel takes root. We saw it in Guatemala, Owen and Anne and I. We were amazed. It was incredible to see the fruit being literally grown and people flourishing. Faith, hope, and love, that's what caught Paul's attention. That's what woke him up to how good that they were doing. As we trust the Lord to bear this type of fruit in our lives, we too can grow in this love and gratitude. We too can be a people marked by kindness and welcome and generosity right where we're planted. That's what my mom always used to say. you know, Sean, you need to bloom where you are planted. I was like, oh, Mom. But it's true. Wherever you are planted in this season of your life, you can bear fruit, even through the difficulty, even through the injustice that you're facing. You can bloom. You can grow. You can move forward because God is with you and God wants the best for you. When Albert Einstein, he fled Nazi Germany, he moved to Princeton. Oh, I've always wanted to go to Princeton. I'd wanted to be a student there. But anyways, he bought a modest house near the university and he would open his home and the brightest and the best minds would come over to his house and they would probably have a good time and talk about all these world problems. It would have been amazing. And yet there was this young girl who would always drop by, Emmy. And Emmy was a 10-year-old and she found out that he was a really kind man. He was really good at math, kind of like Richard. And Emmy, and I know Richard's taught a lot of students too over the years, still does, but they would come over, she would come over to Einstein's house and get math help. She really started flourishing until her mom found out that Emmy was doing this. And she gave her, and she stomped to Einstein and said, I am so sorry for my daughter coming to your house and bothering you with these math. And he said, no. Stop it. This Emmy is the most important person that comes to my house. I really enjoy welcoming her, teaching her, and the way that she's learning, it's so inspiring. She is always welcome, no matter what. That's the hope that we have for our church, too. That we would be a place that welcomes all people. That's really what the renovations are about as well. Being a welcoming community, so no matter who you are, what you're going through, you are welcome here as well. Accessible washroom, elevator, not just structural updates, but they're expressions of our welcome too. Expressions of the gospel, fruit that we believe that the Spirit is growing among us. God today, friends, is still bearing fruit in you, in this community, all around the world. Not fruit born out of pressure or fear or performance, but always, every time, with full confidence for the fruit of God's grace at work amongst us. This is the fruit of a church community that is growing more and more like Christ. Faith, hope, love, and deep, deep gratitude. May we, like the Colossians, trust that God is enough for us. May we remain rooted in the one who has rescued us and will always be there for us in his garden of grace. May we be a church where the fruit of the Spirit ripens and joy overflows. Amen. Friends, let us respond to the word as we sing the hymn, Great is Your Faithfulness, Thy Faithfulness.